Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, right here. And we're bringing another edition of our Spiritual Enlightenment series. And just started this not too long ago here on the show. The mission of this series is to provide you, our listeners, with a gateway to the universe for self-improvement. And throughout this series, we'll have some various guests talking about a range of topics, anything from self-improvement, psychic intuitives, mediums, spiritual counselors, healers, angel therapists, authors, artists, astrology, tarot, all kinds of things. So we'll try to keep this interesting for you. My guest today on the show, calling in soon, will be Joy Meredith of Crystal Fantasy Shop in Palm Springs. And Crystal Fantasy is a leading destination for all kinds of things in this realm, whether it's gifts, crystals, spiritual counselors, advisors, books, all kinds of things, incense. Not only do they have a great store of things that you can pick up, but you can meet interesting people as well, which can help you on your journey. And Joy's feeling of having an attitude of gratitude, I think, is really, it fits very well into what we're trying to do here on this show. So we'll be joined by Joy shortly. So before we get into all that today, what I wanted to do was start with a little bit of some daily wisdom for you. And I'm going to read a passage to you. This is from the 360. It's a book called 365 Buddhist Inspirations, and this is the one of the passages from that book. It goes like this: "There is a difference between watching the mind and controlling the mind. Watching the mind with a gentle, open attitude allows the mind to settle down and come to rest. Trying to control the mind, or trying to control the way that one's spiritual practice will unfold, just stirs up more agitation and suffering." So that's one of those perspectives on how you focus on self-improvement and so forth. And really what we're trying to say, what I'm trying to focus on, is this notion of how you approach improvement. Control is as I said, an agitation, the suffering. It's very negative type connotation. But watching the mind allows you to really come to peace, think about things from a different perspective, and allow your mind to be more open. So that's the daily quote to start things off today. And we're going to go right now and welcome Joy. She should be with us. Joy, welcome to the show today.
Good morning. Welcome, Rick. It's excellent to be here. Thank you.
Well, great to have you back. I started off this morning kind of reinforcing to our listeners what we're trying to do with the Spiritual Enlightenment series here and our approach. And I wanted to kind of set that up a little bit with just some things to kind of put this in perspective. Lots of people have things going on in their lives, and sometimes they're very positive, sometimes they're more of a struggle, and we dwell on them. And sometimes, you know, they say it's difficult to see the forest because of the trees. There's lots of great things happening in our lives every day, and one of the questions is, how do you get to see them and appreciate them? So what we're going to try to do today is talk about things you can do to shift your perspective. There's lots of ways to do that, of course, and we couldn't possibly cover them all in this one show, but we're going to delve into a few, and what we'll try to do is talk about some of the tangible things that you can actually use in your life and then some of the intangibles as well. So we'll go through that. But I think what's interesting, Joy, is that you've got people who reach a certain time in their life when there's sort of a realization. It's not, I wouldn't call it a midlife crisis, but it's a time in our lives when we start thinking about things differently and we try to discover what's really happening. Some people get anxious over it. It can be difficult and stressful, whether it's your career, your family, all kinds of things that can be happening, financially, health. And I think the key is how you shift your perspective so that you can move on to the next level and embrace your life. You have to sort of allow what's happened to happen and focus on where to go next. To me, it's about looking inside yourself for happiness.
Well, and I think that you're really right about that, Rick. You know, everybody has negative things that happen in their life, and nobody's life is perfect, and we so seldom even realize the suffering of another or what they're going through because, you know, if you're not really good friends with them or something, then we would have no way of knowing those sort of things. But, you know, a lot of people are going through a lot. It's a particularly challenging economic time right now, so people are experiencing strife that maybe didn't before. And so I think people have to kind of reinvent the way that they look at things in order to get through these sort of difficult times. And there's a lot of different things that you could do, and a lot of them are actually easy to do. You just have to, it's a little harder to actually begin to feel them. It's more of a act as if, and it will become a part of you sort of theory behind it. But, you know, you have to give it some time, but then you'll find yourself feeling a lot better.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This morning I received an email. I'm on a couple different email, you know, distribution groups and things. And I subscribe to the mailing list from tinybuddha.com. And so today's email was something about, basically it's in the range of looking for the, you know, the bright things in your life, things that are going well. And so this is an article written by an individual, Lori Deschain. And I won't go through all of it, but I want to take our listeners through a few things just to kind of underscore what we're talking about. It's entitled 25 Awesome Things We Take for Granted Most Days.
Ooh,
so she goes through this. Yeah, she goes through this list saying, you know, sometimes we're cynical and all these other things, and she's been meditating, and she started to focus on all the little things that usually go right instead of the big things that could go wrong at some point. So she made a little list, and I'll run through maybe, you know, five or six of them here. She says, here's the things that I realized usually go right every day that I overlook. And this is pertinent to her, of course. She says, I woke up breathing. I have a bed to sleep in. There isn't a hurricane or a tornado or a typhoon going on where I live. I had three meals today. My roof isn't leaking. My shower works. The sun is shining. My car started today. My computer is working. So she took time to look at little things that she takes for granted when she turns the corner and all these positive things are happening in her life. She just never stops to account for them. So they sound very mundane, but in reality, there's, you know, a lot to be thankful for. You can get up and see every day. You have your senses. And for someone who is missing a sense, they appreciate things from another perspective. So it got me really thinking as I was preparing for today's show. That really kind of reinforced this appreciating the little things in life every day.
Well, and I really agree with that, Rick. You know, one of the things I did have on my list for today was to talk about that, to actually write a list of things you are grateful for. And even if each day you just add one thing to the list, you know, the thing is, though, if you look for the good, you're going to find it. If you look for the bad, you're going to find it. And so it's a matter of changing the way that you think, changing the way that you talk, changing a lot of things just to bring yourself to that more positive perspective. It's not always that easy. It depends on how ingrained you are in negativity. You know, some people's personalities just are more positive than others in general. So, and people shouldn't give up either, even though it might not feel right at first. You have to just keep it up and keep it up. And eventually your brain starts to take notice of this and starts to feed you more positive thoughts.
What are some of the things that you meet all kinds of people all the time with Crystal Fantasy? What are some of the things that you find really are easiest for people getting into who have a realization that they want some improvement, they need to make a change in their life, and whether you're more advanced or more of a novice, you know, people come to you seeking solutions and advice. How do you advise people to start off on this?
Well, I think that one of the first things is that you do have to take an honest look at what's, you know, going on in your life. Some things are going to require actual action. And so you need to get those off of the list first. But just for a general attitude, I think that, you know, simple things like even just performing one random act of kindness in a day. It could be something so simple as to open a door for somebody or just say thank you where, you know, you may not have always done that before. But when you start putting that out into the universe, you're going to find not only do you help somebody else and make them feel better, but in no time at all, you start feeling better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one very, very easy thing. And, you know, when you find yourself getting all wrapped up in your own issues or negativity, to just reach outside of yourself to somebody else and just help make their day a little bit better. You know, maybe it's sending a card to somebody that you know has been lonely, or, you know, calling your mom when you maybe, you know, needed to do that and been holding back, or, you know, making amends with a friend that you've had broken ties with. These sort of things increase the positivity in your life. And they seem small and simple, but they really add up, and they really start to just change the way that you run your everyday life.
Yes. Well, I think that the notion of positive energy and putting positive energy in the universe, so that's good karma. When you do good things, a random act of kindness, something for someone who didn't expect it or didn't, you know, look for it, you send out positive vibes, and those are the things that come back to you. So you're not doing them because you want something good back, but the idea that you do it just because. And the effect will be that things will reflect back to you because of your kindness.
Correct. So, I mean, so you're making the world a better place and helping yourself all at the same time. So that seems pretty sweet to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who, just because of either personality or whatnot, who sometimes always speak negatively or who are just downright negative people. Those individuals, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you give that out, you send that out, it surrounds you, then people treat you that way because that's what you're projecting and that's what comes back to you, and then you're miserable because of it. So it's this cycle, and they need to break the cycle and really think differently. It's not easy to do. I mean, I have encountered such individuals in my life periodically, and some of them you can kind of shake them out of it, and others, they just think, you know what, this is all I know, is how to beat people up or how to be negative and whatnot. So for those people who want to shift their perspective and improve their life somehow, you know, sometimes I think the little things I've done in the past, so you may not have the knowledge to jump right into something more detailed, but you start your journey with things like meditation. I found just candles, lighting candles at home and having a calm atmosphere, burning incense. So there's lots of reasons why you could do those two things. And as you get more advanced in your journey, you may have different reasons for burning candles and incense. But what would you say about that? I mean, the idea of just having a candle burning and light, what that does for your mind, how would you describe that, and how should people consider the choice of the color or the scent, any of those things?
Well, you know, I think, Rick, that just, you know, giving yourself 5 or 10 minutes a day, some people call it meditation, and some people just call it taking a break, and some people just don't do it at all. But I think that if you could just give yourself 5 or 10 minutes a day in a stress-free environment, a quiet place, a place for you not to be thinking more about, you know, your solutions and your problems, but rather meditation is really the act of non-thinking. You're not thinking about meditating either. This is also a problem a lot of people have, is they try to meditate and then they think, oh, my God, I'm just thinking about something else. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And the fact is it's just kind of letting go enough so that you're not really thinking at all. You're just being, and that's a big difference. personally, I like to use Nag Champa incense. It's from it's a Sai Baba incense, and it's the one that's my very, very favorite for over 20 years. It just, there's something about it. It's a mixture of sandalwood and chamomile. It's very soothing to me, and, you know, it just really uplifts me and makes me feel better. So I like that, and I like to use purple candles, purple color for meditation. It's the color of the, for the mind, and also for calming of the mind. So for me, that's the way that I like to do it. And then sometimes, especially Yogi Ramesh, that is one of the teachers at Crystal Fantasy, and also Jeff Corman, he's a Chopra Center teacher that is at Crystal Fantasy also. They both teach a bit about mantras. And, you know, for some people too, mantra, which is just a word said in a repetitive manner or a group of words, it doesn't have to be complicated, though. So if you find your mind wandering, you just change it. So even if you want to say, you know, most people are familiar like with om, that sort of thing. But you could also, if you find your mind wandering, let's say, you know, you're sitting at work and you're trying to do your work, but all of a sudden it's on your problems with your partner or on the problems you're having at your bank or something, you just say om, 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 om. It doesn't have to be that long, sustained tone. It could just be enough so that it moves your mind from these negative thoughts onto a sound that has power in it, in itself.
Yeah.
And I just find that very helpful.
Well, I think even that just a vibration that, you know, whether it's inside your body, the vibration that you feel in your head and your body, or I should say, and the vibration that you're sending out into the universe around you, that is part of the process of calming and allowing your mind to, you know, kind of clear, so to speak. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, I think, right, it clears it up. It's kind of like just shaking out that Etch-a-Sketch, you know, getting rid of that you already put in it, and you shake it out and let it be all fresh and new again.
Yes. One of my favorite individuals I've spoken of him before, a gentleman by the name of Emmett Fox. He was just a thought leader in the UK back in the early 1900s, somewhere in that range. But anyway, one of the things he talks about is this idea of, if you want to sort of get negative things out of your mind, whatever it could be that's going on, and you sort of your tendency is, I'm not going to think about that bad thing. I'm not going to think about that bad thing. Well, that process is making you think more about it when you say,
right,
I'm not going to talk about my problem. What he writes about is this notion of not dwelling on negative things, but he says replace them, supplant them with the right constructive things. He talks about the law of mind, and it says basically you can only get rid of one thought by substituting another. So you have to only think about what the positive thing, or visualizing what you want to be. And that, in his mind, is exactly what helps you truly shift your perspective and get the negativity out. So stop thinking about the fact that I'm having financial problems or I'm having a relationship problem. Visualize what you do want, and that's what helps get your reality closer.
Well, I totally agree with you. And, you know, I know Emmett Fox said a lot about living in the present moment. You know, now those things are more widely distributed, let's just say. But to live in the present moment, meaning, you know, just here now. What is it now that is important? And all that's important right now is to make now the best. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow isn't here yet. So all that you really have right now is this single moment. And to keep from that any negative thoughts that you can, and just really retrain the way that your mind thinks.
Yes. I think for me, as I've tried to study a little bit more about the teachings of this Buddhist teachings and the principles, I'm by no means an expert. I'm still in my journey of learning. But I came across the Noble Eightfold Path, and that was kind of, it was a... a chance for me to understand it, or a point when I understood things a little more clearly. And I think it's broken down to three groupings: wisdom, your ethical conduct, and your concentration. And I think how it goes is something like, within wisdom, your concept is, look, having the right view and having the right intention.
Mm-hmm.
Your conduct is about the right speech, what you say, how you say it, the words you choose, taking the right actions, what you physically do, and the right livelihood, so what you do for a living, how you spend your time. Those are part of this ethical conduct. And the third one within concentration is the right effort, the right mindfulness, and the right concentration. So it sounds pretty basic, but if you group it into that, these eightfold path factors, to me, kind of clarified it and how I sort of break it down into more workable chunks in my life.
Well, and you know, Rick, what I think is really important when you're talking about the Noble Eightfold Path is that even though Buddhism is a religion, you could see that this isn't based on anybody's religion. Anybody, no matter what religion you come from, can practice these ideas and can make these ideas part of their life without having to, let's say, change or convert or be a different sort of a thinker in regards to religion. And I think that's a really good example of where religion and spirituality, you know, you could really see that it's quite different in that you could have that crossover without offending any religion.
Yes. It almost has nothing to do with religion in the sense of that you can have your own faith, whatever it may be, but you just think about your life in these chunks, and this doesn't have to challenge or make you feel uncomfortable or nervous. I think anyone of any faith would look at this and say, well, that seems reasonable. I think to me what this path did when I first discovered it was it helped me just think about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what I'm saying, in a different manner. Because it's overwhelming to think about, okay, I need to fix my life. Where do I begin? How do you know what to do?
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, there's so many different people out there who have lots of great philosophies and ideas who can guide you on where to begin, how to start, and so forth. But it can still be overwhelming. So I found that having an ability to kind of break it down, and you can write things down and sort of think to yourself, am I really happy with what I'm doing every day? And what were you actually, Joy, had said to me one time about this choosing your words.
Mm-hmm.
And what you say, and if you say negative things, even inadvertently, or if you stop and think about how you say things, you realize, wow, I've been kind of down on myself.
Yeah,
I
was surprised when I really realized how often I would insult myself in a day by saying something like, oh, God, that was stupid of me again, or, you know, something like that. I was really surprised when I started paying attention to the words that were coming out of my mouth and how they were not very attractive words I was saying about myself, or, oh, I look so fat, or, you know, whatever those words may be. So, you know, the first step for me was to look at the actual words I was speaking. And that was hard. But what was even harder for me was to look at the words I was thinking. Because that brings you, that's a whole different level of consciousness to be paying attention to. And, but, you know, after, I'd say it probably took me about a week of just really, you know, trying to pay more attention to these things, what I was saying first and then what I was thinking, to really change that into a more positive attitude and really, you know, gain a little bit more perspective and be able to help change my thought processes.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about this, the little things we can do. So there are tangible things, and I'm kind of using my own words here, Joy. But
mm-hmm.
So we talked about two tangible things that someone can do to kind of just sort of start a process to help you make it easier. And whether that's candles, spending time thinking, incense. Those are just a few things that, you know, anybody who's listening could say, I'm gonna work on this. And to help me slow down, think about it, here are some tangible things I could bring into my life.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other examples, you know, two or three things that, you know, what do you think about crystals or even art? Is there something that, you know, you could put in your home to look at to help your mind? Is there any things like that you'd suggest?
Well, you know, I first got into crystals for exactly this reason, really. A friend of mine in town here in Palm Springs, Ernest Suss, he introduced me to using amethyst as a focus tool for meditation, and I never really had any doings with crystals before he taught me that. I actually suffered for many years with really severe panic attacks, and at that time, back in the 80s, there wasn't really a name for it. I just thought I was dying. So I went to a lot of doctors, and they just really weren't able to find anything wrong with me, so to speak. But through talking with Ernest, he really helped me understand how I could work to have my mind pay more attention and pay the attention to this beautiful stone and just understand that I control my thoughts. Nothing else does. I am in control of my thoughts. And that was a very important thing for me. So I really like to use amethyst for meditation, for calming the mind. And, of course, it is beautiful, and purple is my favorite color. I don't know which came first, purple or amethyst for me, but I do love it. And just all those things together, you know, you have crystals, candles, incense, just providing yourself a safe and comfortable environment where you can be yourself and just really work on changing the way that you think about things and being a more positive person.
Mm-hmm. There's been lots written about the energy within crystal and the fact that it's made from energy from the earth. There's something, you know, a lot went into it, a lot of time and so forth, that they actually have, I'll call it healing properties, but there's more than just that, I guess. What are your thoughts on that and the benefits of having crystals in your home, in your life, on your person, you know, whatever it may be, whether you wear it, carry it in your pocket or purse, or in your home? Any thoughts on those healing properties?
Yes, thank you. Well, I think particularly with quartz, which is silicon dioxide, and everybody's aware that silicon is used for computer chips, it has the ability to generate energy, to amplify energy. And we know this just by using our computers, by having a quartz watch, and all of these other applications of how quartz is used in our daily life. So I think that the discussion on quartz crystals specifically, that there is a lot of scientific work that backs that up as well. You know, because it does have these other uses. And so to add that into your realm, I think just will change the energy field that you're already supplying to yourself. And also the stones that are of different colors, each of the colors, we see color because of a vibrational rate. That's how we see it. And so when you add another color into your energy field, let's say you want to add rose quartz. Rose quartz is pink. And so that stone represents love, compassion, release of guilt, forgiveness, those sort of emotions. And so I have heard and I've read before that they are actually painting waiting rooms at prisons in pink because it's just known that it helps cool hot tempers and such. So each of the colors, because of their vibrational rate, when you add that to your energy system, and I prefer it myself on the body, you know, I like to wear a crystal necklace or I carry the stone in my pocket, something like that. So it is within my energy field and it is going to have some sort of effect. And Carilion photography also shows that you could have those changes in your energy field just by adding a crystal into it. And we have an aura photographer that will be with us at the Divine Spirit Weekend, October 2nd to 3rd, where you could really actually see that. You could see your own energy field, but we've also taken pictures before of crystals to show the different energy fields around them or a person that is holding a crystal as opposed to not holding a crystal and what those differences could be. And it's really something when you actually see it, you know, on paper that way.
Yeah, it is. And on another show, I'm hoping to talk more about that. I have some of the personal experiences I want to share, but that's a topic for another day too. It's so much just in that alone. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I would like to talk about how people would go about choosing a crystal to kind of help them with this and the process they should go through. So if you want to just think about that, we'll take a very quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nicolette Sheridan, and I'm here with Dick Van Patten to ask for your support during National Guide Dog Month.
Now, we've teamed up with Petco to raise $1 billion so the people who don't have the gift of sight receive guide dogs.
It takes more than 2 years and over $40,000 to train one single guide dog. So with your donation, we can help guide dog schools train dogs to provide safe mobility, companionship, and the miracle of independence to the blind.
So please, make a donation today when you check out.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together, we can make a difference.
And you can donate online at www.petco.com/naturalbalance and make your donation for guide dogs this month. Here in Palm Springs, the Guide Dogs of the Desert are one of the recipients of this fundraising program. We're focusing on raising $1 million for guide dogs, so please go online and donate today.
Meet Mary.
Dad?
Mary, you look so much older than in your last picture and so much more preggers.
A girl with nowhere to go.
Mind if I ask a question?
I'm 16. I'm not married. I ran away from home. I'm just about 8 months pregnant, going to see my father-in-law. I'm having a baby bear. Does that pretty much cover it?
No, not really.
Well, that's about all I've got.
Searching for a place to fit in.
I'm a runaway. I hitched a ride with a Pocahontas-loving truck driver. It's not like I've got this all planned out, you know.
Searching for a place she can call home.
What is this place?
Maybe the village. Or the trailer park, but we like a village.
This place? Really odd.
You can't go around shooting children with a shotgun.
There's nothing to do in this town except scare pigs and shoot children. Hoop-de-doo.
The economy is in a dump. You live in a dump. I own a dump.
And I gotta be honest, you and your friends, there's a huge weirdness factor here.
Oh, yeah.
You can see Expecting Mary in Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage, and Palm Desert. It's now playing at the Camelot Theaters, and if you bring your ticket stub to Trio or Aquapazza restaurants, they'll be giving you a 10 to 20% discount on your meal. So that's Expecting Mary, now playing in theaters here in the Coachella Valley and select cities nationwide. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host. And with us today is Joy Meredith from Crystal Fantasy Shop in Palm Springs. She's joining us for our Spiritual Enlightenment series here on Palm Springs Savant and Company. Joy, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. And for folks listening who'd like to learn more, you can go to Joy's website. It's crystalfantasy.com. And shortly, we'll also be talking about the Mind, Body, Spirit event October 2nd and 3rd in Palm Springs. And that's what's that website for folks, Joy?
We're going to have a great event October 2nd and 3rd in Palm Springs. And actually, listeners of this radio show, they mention it, they could actually get in for free, we decided to do. So it's going to be a really fun event. We have about 15 local readers and healers that will be there and about 20 vendors. And then we have a lot of free classes and a couple that are going to be paid classes. So it's going to be a really great event. And I think it just allows people the opportunity to see what's out there, what's available for them, what sort of readings, counselors, or healings might possibly work best for them. You know, everything doesn't work for everybody. And you have to find your spot there. And I think that's what we really strive to do, is be that sort of magnet for the area here. So people that are looking for spiritual, I don't want to say enlightenment. It almost sounds it sounds cocky or something. We're just working on that path towards enlightenment. And
okay.
I think that, you know, we're not saying that, you'll be an enlightened Buddha if you just hang out with us. You know, it's just that it's a path. It's a path to enlightenment.
Great. Well, you can find out more online at palmspringsbodymindspirit.com. That's a mouthful, but you can find all the information there. And no matter where you live in the country, Palm Springs is a great place to be in the month of October. So it's a nice place to get away and have a little vacation for yourself, but also to start your path, your journey. And I would encourage you to check it out. It's a great event. Okay, so before the break, we were talking about crystals. And the context here is if you're looking to make a change in your life, you're looking for a way to shift your perspective and to kind of think about things differently or help yourself, that crystals are one way, one thing you can do tangibly in your life. And what we're kind of leading up to is how does somebody go choose a crystal? So somebody says, great, I'll go into Crystal Fantasy, I'll go into my shop and look for crystal. I mean, how do you decide which one to buy, what color, what size? Should you do this on your own or ask for help? What would you say?
Well, I think that you could really do it either way. A lot of times people come in with a list of crystals they're looking for because they read a book. I personally really feel that the most effective way to choose a crystal is to come in, look for a crystal, find one that you're attracted to, and then read about what it's about. And usually what we find is that people are going, oh, my God, no wonder I was attracted to that one. This one is perfect for me. Sometimes people are afraid to trust their inner judgment with that, and so they feel, you know, that they would like our assistance with that, and that's okay, too, and we'll be glad to help with that. And we could do that in many ways. You know, when we're talking to a customer, we try to get an idea of, you know, what the basic steps are that they're looking to commit to now, and then figure out from there what stone would be best. We could also have them use a pendulum in the store. We sell a lot of them, so they could use a pendulum. You use it for divination, hold it over a crystal, and amazingly enough, it starts moving one way or another in a yes or a no pattern, and could be very helpful as well. So it's kind of interesting to use a crystal pendulum to help choose a crystal. You can right away start seeing how it's all connected.
Yes. Now, it's interesting. When I was in your shop just recently, and I went in to pick out some crystals for myself, and I intentionally went and looked around, and I allowed myself to be drawn to the area, because you have a few different places. We have such a great variety and selection of crystals, but the stones that either spoke to me or appealed to me, that kind of thing, just from a visual and a physical sense of feeling that I had, those are the ones I selected. And then once I had those and brought them up to show you, I was very interested in your observation, not so much by what I had chosen, because that was one piece, but by what I had not chosen.
And that was apparent that you hadn't chosen that one color, so
yeah.
That was interesting.
Yes. Now, so it's almost, I wouldn't want to rob someone else of the experience of what I went through, meaning, you know, when you go, this is not a test for anyone, but when you go through the process of saying, I'm going to find some crystals, you don't want to do it with a sense like, okay, let me go check off everything I need. That wouldn't necessarily be the greatest learning experience in my mind, but it is interesting if you, it's telling by potentially what you didn't choose, because that could be an opportunity in your life that you need to focus on, or at least I needed to. So without giving that away, do you have any thoughts for people on that process and how that process of selecting a stone can help you learn about something about yourself?
Well, and thanks for not giving away the punchline there, because, you know, when we were in the store the other day, we talked about it, and the fact is that it only really works once really well, because after you know what to look for, your conscious mind almost doesn't even allow anymore for you to just so freely go in there to make that sort of an access. But that first time is always very telling.
Yep.
Because when you don't know anything about crystals and you just go in there and pick out a handful of different stones because you were attracted,
yeah,
that those stones right there could just tell a whole story about somebody.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful way to have that first experience with stones. It's just go in there, pick out some things, bring them up, and let us tell you why, you know, what those represent, and that could really tell a story.
Do things like size, shape, you know, the color, I mean, you want to pick what appeals to you, I would think, but does any of that have a bearing on how somebody should, I'm trying to make this instructive for someone who's looking to take that first step in their life, Joy, and they want to do something to change their perspective and help them on this path. Do they really need to focus much on that, or is it really just go with your gut?
I think it's a lot better to just go with your gut, really. And we all know, Rick, size doesn't matter.
Right. Of course it doesn't. In
Sorry.
Fact, I was picking a few out, and there was one that was probably one of the smallest of a particular stone that was in that little area.
Yeah, it was rhodonite, wasn't it? It was that pink and black one? Was that
no,
the one?
Well, that was for small one. I think it was the jade, I guess, that was really tiny. And
There were
much larger jade pieces there, but I said to myself, I actually consciously stopped and said, no, that's the one I first was drawn to amongst all the others in that group. So why would I go and change this because I want a bigger stone?
Right. And some people are just automatically drawn to things that are rounder or puffier or longer. So, you know, those sort of things are really personal preference, and you may or may not find that they still ring true when you're looking at stones.
Yes.
But, you know, whatever it is that somebody's drawn to, even the shape can actually have some amount of meaning to it as well. It's just really a matter of trying to really go in there with your mind clear. You're not really looking for something, you're just looking. That something is in there looking for you. So give it a minute and let it come through what it is that you need to have, because sometimes it's in that, I almost want to say communication, that the stones are having with you, but I'm not sure it's exactly the word I'm looking for, but if you could just be open to it without trying to control it, that's
yes.
really the key.
Absolutely. You know, I think, so in terms of things that people can do or tangibles they can bring in their life, those are some great examples. I also know that sometimes, depending on who you are and how you see things, sometimes you need a little bit more. You may need sort of almost like a jolt, you know, to kind of get you to really see things differently. And particularly if you're in a tough situation and something's going on in your life that's really troubling you, I find that actually physically changing your perspective can actually help you mentally
yeah.
change. So that's why some people do practice yoga. Now, I have not evolved yet, and it's on my list of things I really do want to do more. I want to practice yoga, but I haven't just gotten myself there yet. But I'm on a journey, and I recognize that. But yoga is one thing that can really help. The idea of actually changing how you're physically looking at things can help change your mind. So like standing, I mean, not everybody can physically do this, but standing on your hands or on your head or balancing, you know, your shoulders, that kind of thing, you actually do see the room differently, other people who walk in.
That's very right. That does give you a very different perspective.
Yep.
Very
I mean,
different.
It's the silliest thing here, but I'm a big animal lover and I love my pets. I have two dogs and a cat. And lots of times I will sit on the floor with my dogs at home. And I'm it never ceases to amaze me how different my home looks from their view. They're looking up at everything.
You're so right.
Down at everything. So lots of times I'll just sit down on the floor with my cat or my dogs and I'll just kind of look at what they see. And sometimes it actually will prompt me to make a change at home or something. And, you know, I need to really repaint that or I need to fix that. Or it may just be a, hey, wow, I never realized how beautiful that window was or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my advice to people listening today it would be from my own experience is if you're having trouble shifting your perspective, kind of getting out of a rut or whatever it may be, and, you know, maybe you just don't have the wherewithal to do a whole or the time to do a whole lot, go to classes or do something, a first step you can take would be do that exercise, that physical change. And it doesn't come easily or quickly. You know, you have to practice and you have to kind of just allow yourself some quiet time. But, you know, changing what you're physically, how you're physically looking at things actually can help you. So I'll just say, you know, jolt you into or kind of allow your mind to see things. Wow, that's another way of looking at it, everything.
Right. Well, you know, that's really the whole thing, is just teaching your mind to look at things from a different perspective. So, you know, I think that's just can come about in so many different ways that, you know, you just really learn what works for you, because what works for you might not be what works for your brother or your mom or your friend or whatever. You have to find in it what works for you and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. What techniques is yoga? Does anyone practice yoga, study, or teach yoga at Crystal Fantasy or anything else like that?
Yes, we do have people that teach yoga and other things at Crystal Fantasy, like Tai Chi, Qigong. We have those sort of arts available there. And I think it's important to know about yoga too, that in yoga, the body portion of it, the exercise portion of it, is only one small part of yoga. There really is so much more that goes along with it, and we could actually touch on those on a whole different show, because there's so much more to it, although a lot of people only look at it as being the posture. But there is a lot more to yoga than that. You know, it also goes with the mantras and a lot of other things. But most people just think of it as the exercises.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about this physical, you know, looking at things physically different from a different perspective. A couple days ago, sometime last week, I wrote a post on my blog about shifting your perspective. And what actually got me thinking about it was, every so often I go out into the yard and I take pictures of things and the, you know, plants and the sky and whatnot. I love photographing the San Jacinto Mountains because they are so beautiful. But this day, there's a particular plant I have. It looks like a cactus, but I think one of my plant expert friends would correct me otherwise. I think it's a euphorbia or something like that. But anyway, this plant, I took a couple photos of it. One I took just kind of a head-on, looking at it as you would see if you were walking up to a tall plant. And then the other two, I took a picture holding my camera above this plant, looking down onto it as if you were a bird. And then I changed my camera and I put it kind of underneath the plant, kind of where the branches branch out, and looking up toward the sky. And
beautiful.
It surprised even me. I looked at it. You know, I got the photos and, you know, I just basically looked at them later and I thought, oh, I could make an interesting post around this. And it really got me thinking about our perspectives, because there was a plant in my own yard that I had walked past, well, for 10 years I've been looking at this thing, and I've only ever seen it from the view head-on. And since I'm not a bird, I don't look down on my plants, you know, from way up in the sky, and I've certainly not looked at the underbelly of this. And so there was a plant, the underbelly had some, I'll call them growth scars, you know, things that are kind of weird colorations when it's branched out or something broke off or whatever. And it didn't necessarily look great, but it had, you know, these other aspects to it that had been hidden because they were kind of beneath or underneath it and such. The top view had this incredible multi-dimensional view because of all the little angles and pieces and arms and everything. It almost had a kind of, it reminded me of like a crystal look of a quartz crystal, but in a green view. And so, you know, our minds look at things, we process things in just milliseconds or whatever it is, it's very quickly, between light and color and all that. It happens so fast we don't think about it. These three photos I posted on my blog last week about this really helped highlight for me that we can see, you know, how we view things and how we're willing to shift our perspective can really be an eye-opening experience. So,
you know, Rick, it sounds like that would be a really good exercise for your listeners, is to try that, something that they have just looked at the same every day, something they look at every single day, maybe a bush that's outside of their front door or anything, and to just try to actually see that from different perspectives, from, you know, up top and down low and everything like that you're saying. And I think that starts to really, you know, formulate those ideas in people's minds, the physicalness of getting a different perspective.
Yes, yes. And that's a great suggestion, because I think readers who are looking for again, it can be overwhelming to say, well, I don't know the first thing about this, and all I know is, I have a lot going on in my mind. Well, you don't have to spend a lot of money at first or even at all. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an expert, and you can do these things in your own home or in your own yard.
Well, I think that is the great part about it, is that you can do that, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. It could be something that's personal that you just do with yourself. And if somebody would like to purchase some crystals or things, we're available at Crystal Fantasy, but there are so many things that you can do just on your own to bring your path forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's I would suggest to people who are thinking about, even if you've not made a conscious decision yet, that I need to go improve my life, there's something I need to fix I'm not happy with. Even if you just say, I'm going to make it a practice every day or once a week, start small, to look at things differently and just get out there into that routine. I mean, there's that old expression, don't forget to stop and smell the roses. And it's probably one of the corniest cliches out there, but that has been one of the things that I've carried through my life, that I don't care where I am. This is silly for me, but whenever I see a flower that appeals to me visually, I stop what I'm doing and smell it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a real stop and smell the roses sort of thing, isn't it? That really.
It's almost so literal, but it's actually helped me. And here's what's interesting, an example for anyone listening, is how actions you take can affect others. So, I've worked in a couple different retail organizations and fairly corporate environments and traveled with people who are, let's just call them titans of industry, and they're all focused on, business. Well, there have been times when I've been traveling with various individuals, and, let's say you're walking through the corporate office campus into someone's company, and there'd be some beautiful shrubs or flowers. And that executive would pass by them every day and, with a scowl on his face and go into the building and take the elevator up to the whatever floor. There was one occasion when I was in a location, and I was walking with him, and we passed by this beautiful bed of roses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking shop and keeping it going, and I stopped. And I said, these are the most beautiful flowers you have. And I was making a genuine compliment about his campus of his corporate, of his company. And I stopped and leaned over and smelled the flowers and said, these roses smell beautiful. And he looked at me, and it kind of jolted him out of his thought, because he thought, well, mm-hmm. We were just talking about whatever. And then he stopped and he said, I don't think I've ever smelled those roses before. And he said, I didn't even know we had roses in our front garden.
Right.
And he had been there for 10 years at least.
Right, I understand.
Amazing. So part of it is, stopping and appreciating the beauty that you have around you. But, maybe that was 15 seconds, whatever it took me to stop and, take a sniff. It my mind kind of opened up. It felt better. The sense, the processing of the scent, the visual appeal, and actually just stopping for a moment, because we were walking at a fast clip into that office, and I had on my mind all the things I had to say and how I had to get certain things accomplished today, and it was all pent up in my mind. But because
yeah.
I have a higher level of I'm calling it an edict, a personal edict, to stop and smell the roses. It literally transformed that day for me.
It probably transformed me forever.
Well, interesting that you say that, because about months later, this has been a few years now, but months after that particular day, I got an email from him, this gentleman, and he said to me, he said, I meant to tell you how much I appreciated you pointing out those roses there. He said, one day I was leaving work, and I was... he said, I was walking past those roses as I do every day, and he said, for some reason, I decided just to clip one off and bring one home to my wife. And he said, I've never done that. Technically, the roses aren't mine personally to do it, but I figured no one else is appreciating them. So he wrote this all in an email, and he said
mm-hmm.
he surprised his wife when he got home with a rose from the plant at his office. And she said it was better than if he had brought home a bouquet of a dozen roses.
Of course.
From a store.
Of course, and how sweet is that?
Yeah, and so I don't take credit for that, but I would say that an act that any of us could do such as pointing something out that is has beauty or appreciation, that can affect someone else in your life who, you know, in ways that you don't we don't realize. And that's probably one of the lessons I would give our my readers today, listeners today, is to think about not only for yourself, but how that act can actually reverberate and help others. And it does help shift people's perspectives on things.
Well, I think that anything like that where you could just shift people's perspective a little bit and change their way of thinking and, you know, make it more positive, those things help everybody. And, you know, you put other people in a better mood. I mean, if you just think about it, and I know this just seems so simplistic, but, you know, if you just change one other person's mood and they do and so on and so on and so on, you're going to be hanging out with a lot of really nice people. And they don't even, they might not even be people that you know. So you could be changing things way down the path that you're not even familiar with that are changing.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very easy to do. So, a lot of interesting topics today, and this is a fun show. I appreciate kind of how the path this took. And for those listening, well, I always prepare for shows that I do, and I make notes, and I have things, I do some research. And this series that I've started, this Enlightenment series, I pick some topics, and I do some research, but I like to allow the conversation to flow naturally and where it should take us. So this is not a highly scripted show for that reason. This particular series, I like the way it kind of evolves. And my feeling is I don't question how things go because I know that I'll be together with you, Joy. We'll kind of lead this conversation through for listeners that will take in the way that it needs to go. So my hope is that there's someone listening today who's going to hear this and something we said will just hit the right chord. And that's almost better than having a fully scripted agenda for these shows. So that's the approach we've taken.
I think so too. You know, it just is coming out naturally and not scripted, and I think for these sort of discussions that's really important. And if you wouldn't mind, if I could just also say that on the last Friday of every month at Crystal Fantasy, we have a community drum circle there. You don't have to bring drums if you don't have any. And we have that, and the last Sunday of every month is Spiritual Sampler Sunday, where we have sort of a mini event there once a month. And then October 2nd to 3rd is our Palm Springs Body, Mind, Spirit Weekend. And like I said, anybody that mentions that they heard it on your show will get a free entry. Otherwise, it's $10 to be part of that event.
Great. Well, I appreciate that because I think there's really good things happening there, and I encourage people to consider. And it's relatively just a few weeks away now, but if you still have time to plan your schedule to get out to Palm Springs, please do so. If you live here, you know, check it out. I mean, it's definitely a wonderful opportunity to kind of dig into this more and kind of start your journey.
Well, and Rick, I hope you'll be able to be there too, and maybe some of our customers could get the opportunity to meet you, and I think they'd really enjoy that as well.
I won't miss it. I will be there, and I'm thrilled that my schedule is going to allow me to attend this year. Great. Well, Joy, I appreciate your time today, and again,
thank you very much, Rick.
Who want to reach you, they can call you at 760-322-7799. That's crystalfantasy.com. And your website is palmspringsbodymindspirit.com. Is that right for the event?
That is correct.
Great. Wonderful. Well, Joy, we'll speak to you again next time here on our Spiritual Enlightenment series on the Palm Springs Savant and Company. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you very much.
And for those of you who have tuned in today, please feel free to contact me at rickrockhill@msn.com. You can go to my blog at rickrockhill.blogspot.com or follow me on Twitter at rickrockhill, all one word. Thank you so much for listening today, and we will see you next time on the Palm Springs Savant and Company.
This is Rick Rockhill. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show, right here on Blog Talk Radio.